Ben Fred Fridays on Scoops with DannyMac.com. And we thank Henderson and Watercutty. Go to their website, STLCriminalDefense.com, the exclusive sponsor to Ben Fredrickson and Scoops with Danny Mac, and our visit with Ben Fredrickson on these Friday mornings on the website. Ben, is always good to visit with you.
Good to be here in person. I like this. It's kind of a spring setup for us. We get to share a cup of coffee. We get to sit down and talk face to face.
We should keep doing
this when we get back to St. Louis.
I think we're going to make it a point to do that. And I like it when there's a lot of news.
How about that?
We got a lot of news. It broke yesterday right after the game. The fact that Paul Goldschmidt is assigned an extension, and boy, they kept it quiet. I mean, it was really quiet, and everybody's kind of going to their cars. Mike Shield had just met with the media, and all of a sudden, everybody's kind of looking down at their phone, and I'm sitting there talking to Paul DeYoung, and we're just kind of visiting.
You're the wrong Paul, brother.
Yeah, I wish I was with Paul Goldschmidt and could have asked him, you mind going to dinner tonight? You'll definitely pick up the check. And none of the players really, I mean, to my knowledge, not many knew. And I asked DeYoung, I said, you heard about this? He said, no. And usually he would say, yeah, you know, this sounds bright. And he said, well, good for him. You know, it just came out of nowhere, at least for some of us. And the point being, we had thought the Cardinals made a point, let him get used to St. Louis, experience opening day, then we'll start putting the full court pressure. Well, it looks like that's out the window. Paul Goldschmidt, long term, your thoughts?
Kind of the same experience for me. I actually asked one of the players, I said, you know, I made a comment about the extension, and there was confusion over what I was talking about. And then next thing you know, it was Jack Flaherty. He's looking at his phone going, oh. And then all of a sudden the word starts to spread, and you got guys going, oh, my God. And then you got one player going, that's a lot of Cheetos. And then the other one goes, I got good news. And then, this elation in the clubhouse. And I think that right there says the impact that Paul Goldschmidt has made in one spring camp. He said from the beginning, I'm going to keep this close. I'm not going to do this publicly. So even when it's kind of been the spring of the extension, right? Bregman and Arenado and all these guys are jumping on extensions, and you wondered, okay, would it affect Goldschmidt? But the Cardinals had always said, look, we can't ram an extension down someone's throat. We don't want to be the needy date, right? We're going to let him experience camp. We're going to let him have that rush that is opening day in St. Louis. And we feel like these things are going to help our points. They're going to help our case. Well, it turns out they didn't need to make a case. I mean, and it'll be interesting later this week to figure out how exactly it transpired, but this was an example I got to imagine of Goldschmidt being open, and then once the cards started to get put on the table, they realized they all wanted the same thing.
I wonder that exact point. I mean, what was the turning point? You know, was Paul watching what the trend was in baseball? Was it Andrew Miller and bouncy houses around, you know, and kids growing up around, you know, the young kid, he's got two young kids. Was that something that intrigued him? Matt Carpenter, the relationships of the older players that are here. Is it Mike Shildt? Is it a family atmosphere? Is it the tradition of Cardinal baseball? Is it a standing ovation on the first at bat in Jupiter on February 23rd? Is it, I don't know. I just what clicked?
Combination, right?
Had to
have been. And Paul is, you know, it sounds corny and people might roll their eyes, but I really think it's true. This guy is kind of the definition of what the Cardinals want to be about. Excellent player, a guy who, you know, does things the right way. And then he just wants to play baseball and go home at the end of the day and be with his family. It sounds boring. Maybe Chris Bryant thinks it is, but that's kind of, this has worked. This model has worked for the Cardinals for a long time. Go trade for a great player, get him in here, and then impress him with what he finds. It worked for your buddy Jim Edmonds. I mean, it worked for a lot of guys, and then it didn't work with Jason Hayward.
Right.
And everybody went, oh my God, it will never work again. And it kind of felt like that. I mean, the Cardinals got no thanks by Stanton, and Hayward says no. And all of a sudden, it's like, can this model possibly work? Well, this, to me, gives Cardinals fans a reason to kind of feel good about what they have in their team again. And it really does. I said the Cardinals have the best first baseman. They have one of the best first basemen in baseball, a guy who makes them better at every turn, a guy just agreed to sign an extension after a trade, and there a lot of people are picking him to win the division. Like, what year is this?
Right.
It feels like they're back, and now there's not that what if hanging over the head when it comes to Goldschmidt. I wrote about this for today's paper. The guy shows up with a Diamondbacks bag over his shoulder, and it's been sitting in his locker. He played his whole career there. I'm sure it's probably sentimental to him, but teammates were razzing him the other day about getting rid of it. It's like, come on, man, you're a Cardinal now.
Right.
And he's just got it tucked away. But that was kind of always the reminder, is like, he's not here by his own choice, and he could be gone after 1 year. Like, how can you really – you can't have a cornerstone player who's a one-year guy. And that was always going to be the thing that was kind of hovering over this Goldschmidt experiment. But now it's gone.
Right.
And it was gone even before they played one game that counted. That, I think, says a lot about the vibe around this camp. Mike Schilt never felt like he was trying to impress Paul Goldschmidt. He felt like he wanted to bring him into the team, wanted him to be a part of it, but he wasn't going to treat him any different than anybody else. And that's exactly what Paul Goldschmidt wants. You've seen it, man. We've watched it together, how he works. He walks into the clubhouse, and every player works harder because the best player is working his butt
off. That's right.
And that, I think, that vibe, he can see. He loves Matt Carpenter. They know each other. He loves playing with Yadier Molina. Their baseball IQ together off the charts. I think he saw the opportunity to probably be this bridge between guys like Matt and Yadi and Wainwright to guys like Flaherty and Bader and Hicks. And he that's what he is now. He's going to be the superstar bridge between the Cardinals, you know, I guess aging core and the guys who are coming online. And now there's not going to be a gap where they say, when's the next superstar coming? He's here. And the Cardinals might have another Paul Goldschmidt in their system, but they don't have one at the doorstep. And now they have him here for five.
When you look at the extension as compared to others, what did you think about the money as it compares to other extensions in baseball?
I was actually surprised that it wasn't more money. We had initially thought it would be 5 years, $150 million to kind of get the talks going. So when I heard the initial report was something around 110, that seemed low to me. It's actually 130. That seems closer. I didn't know if the Cardinals would have to go beyond that. I think this is a great deal. I mean, when you look at some of the money being spent this offseason, like $330 million for Harper, a younger player, yes. But, it's a lot of money. It's the biggest deal in club history. So it can't, that should be acknowledged. But to get a player of this magnitude on a deal that's not going to take him so far into his career where you're that much worried about how he's going to be playing, I think it's worth every penny of it. I really do. And Paul Goldschmidt's going to be 32. He would have been 32 headed into free agency. And that's, an age that baseball analytics have taught us to press pause on, right? But you also have to look at some of the surrounding figures. He plays every day. He's like allergic to the injured list. He plays a position, first base, that's kind to age, and he plays it really well. The biggest thing about Paul Goldschmidt that surprised me being around him now, as opposed to just watching him in Arizona, is he's not this big, lumbering, bulky power hitter. He's athletic. He looks like a basketball player, like an NBA player. He can jump, he can move, he can run. We know he's a good base runner. So he has a body type that should, hold up better to aging. And then you throw in the fact that it's probably not going to be too long before the National League has a DH, which that could be something that plays into, the tail end of his five-year contract. So if you're going to give a contract to a player that age, then give it to a guy who plays first base very, very well and plays a lot and doesn't get hurt. And he's an all-around player. I mean, this to me, I said it when they traded for him, they have to extend him. And then Arenado signed an extension, and Mike Trout signed an extension, and some other guys who could have potentially been, the next big Cardinal free agent that everybody likes to dream about, they were gone. They were locked up. So that increased the need to get him extended, and the only question was if he would be interested, and it turns out he was way more interested than any of us maybe realized right off the bat.
I am proud to add to the website, as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. I think it's going to be, I talked about it ironically on the game yesterday on Fox Sports Midwest, and I asked Jim Edmonds, I said, do you remember the first game that you had in St. Louis? And he said, not in particular. He said, which kind of surprised me. I thought he'd say, well, I remember this, this, and this. And then he said, all I remember is that all the opening days as a player in St. Louis were almost like, and I'm paraphrasing, kind of like a blur, he said, because they all, I get goosebumps thinking about it. He said they all were, and I looked at his arms, and they were, all the hair was standing up. He said they all were so incredible. And he said, I still think they're all incredible. And fans, I don't think, understand sometimes. I think now that he's on TV, they're getting a better understanding that, you know, sometimes I think they thought, well, Jimmy was kind of the, you know, a little flighty sometimes. Jimmy loves the game of baseball. Like, he loves it and appreciates a fan base that appreciates baseball like he does, because he really loved it as a kid. And so I said to him, what do you think it'll be like for Goldschmidt, you know, that first one? And he said, Danny, he has no idea what is about to hit him, basically. And now that he has signed the extension, I don't think he has any idea what's about to hit him in that opening day.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you know, I'm glad that you brought up Jim, because it's been fun to watch him.
And it's been fun
down here.
It's been great.
His son's with him. You know, he's getting to have that moment. But he's also working his butt off. He's on the road for the doubleheader last night.
Right.
He's leaving, you know, and there, very few people make the both games. And I've had a chance to watch him interact with guys. Dan, they love this guy.
Oh, they love him.
I mean, you've seen it, you know, more behind the scenes, but
yeah.
Now everybody's seeing it. And, you know, he's doing everything from giving Marcelo Ozuna tips on ways to, you know, help get his shoulder back. He's gotten very tight with Dexter Fowler. Fowler hits two home runs in the game the other day. The first two pitches he saw both left the yard. Before the game, he had been in the cage with Edmonds telling him,
yes.
Hey, I feel it. You know, something's clicking here.
Well, I can tell you
and
a
Edmonds
further
story. Edmonds is laughing after the game. He's like, you called it. And it's not, you know, he doesn't want any credit.
Right.
He doesn't need it. You know, he just likes being around these guys, and they love him.
Yeah.
And I think, too, my second point of that is it's a compliment to Mike Schilt. Because a lot of managers would not be comfortable with a guy like Jim Edmonds being around the team.
That's correct.
Big name, fans love him, has a growing interest in coaching. He might have been perceived by as a threat, and he could be if a manager wasn't all about trying to have the best team possible. So I think it's a sign of Schilt, too, to say, if a guy can help this team and he wants to be around, bring him around.
Right.
And let's go. He wants guys who makes his team better. And he said this great line the other day about, you know, we are talking to him about this spring, and you know, he understands he's not polishing the offensive numbers. Some of them have been bad here toward the end, and he's saying, look, I wish I could tell you guys, you know, how good this spring has been. I said, well, tell us, you know, let's hear your argument of how good it's been. And he goes through and he goes, I've put people on my leadership team that will tell me I want basically, I call them no men. It's the opposite of yes men.
Right.
Guys who tell me this doesn't look right and you're glossing over this and we need to focus on this. And he said, I go to those people and say, what do we need to do? And they're telling me everything looks good. You know, so, and he's legit about it. He wants criticism. He wants people to say when things are off to them, people he trusts. And I think that's a, I think it's a credit to him and his security in this role as a first, as a technically a first year manager, right? I mean, this first full season, this first spring training, to have a guy who could be perceived as a threat around making his guys better. I think it says a lot about both of those guys.
Well, it was interesting when Dexter hit that home run. We had done our open for the game, and Jimmy, and we'd highlighted Dexter, ironically, and Jimmy said, you know, Dexter's pretty close. I can tell you he's getting close, and he knew something was going on. And boom, he hits the home run, and he said, well, had a sandwich with Dexter today. And Landon, his son, who's that's Jimmy's son, he said, he sat down with us, had a sandwich, and he fixed something. I'm not going to say what it was, but he fixed something, and something's going on with him, and he's right. I can just tell you that. Well, something's right, and he's, and then next time, boom, hits another home run. So they corrected something, and he said, but Jimmy, to his credit, said, I'm not taking any credit for it. He said, this is Dexter. He's been working on this. And we've talked about it a lot. I you know, to kind of pull back the curtain, myself and Jimmy and Dexter went and played golf last week and spent a long time with him. And I can tell you, you know, the guy is putting in the work. He has put in the work. Now, whether he gets the results in the season, time will tell. But he's put in the work, and I think he's had a better camp maybe than what I think what a lot of fans back home maybe see during the games. He has put in the work. We'll see if it comes to fruition this season. And I know you've done an extensive profile, and I want to highlight this for fans that go to STL today or get their paper this weekend. You've done an extensive profile for the Post-Dispatch on your baseball section, the Big Baseball Guide, which is outstanding every year. But what did you learn about Dexter after such a rough season and going into this year?
Well, I came down here, and he had talked with Derek at winter meetings about what he went through on the mental side of things, and really candid. So I kind of wanted to come down here at spring and say, okay, if the Cardinals say spring training matters for Dexter Fowler, then what are the signs, positive or negative, of how that's going? And I didn't want to have a preconceived opinion. I just literally wanted to say, if you say his play is important to you in determining his role in this team, then show me where it justifies him starting. And everybody was willing to point to these reasons, and you watch him and you see reasons yourself. And that's kind of what I wrote this column about, is he looks stronger.
Upper body's different.
And I don't mean like, you know, we can talk about the mental side because that matters, but he looks physically stronger.
Yes.
His chest is filled out more. He's, you know, he just looks, his swings look more ferocious. His bat is arriving through the zone with intent. He's moving better, certainly on the base paths. You're reminded when you watch him run that he's one of the best base runners on this team.
How about first to third the other
Absolutely.
Day?
He's fast. Yeah. And he's also looking to run aggressively. He's looking for a bobble. He's looking for a drop that can make him take an extra bag. He's moving better on his legs in the outfield. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you Dexter's going to be a plus outfielder. He never has been, except for one time in his career in Chicago,
right,
in center. Now he's moved positions. I think we thought he would be better in right field, but I don't know that he's going to be a plus right fielder. He does seem to be moving better. His arm to me looks better.
Agreed.
He's gunned down two guys on the base paths. Which we didn't see a lot of that last year. So that's something I saw. But the biggest thing I saw is what you see in the hits and what the Cardinals are getting in the hits and the exit velocity. His exit velocity on balls that he's squaring up, the average is higher than any ball that he hit last season. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us last season he was a mess. But it also tells us that his career low exit velocity last year is a thing of the past this spring. And everyone, you know, who was looking just at the results, some of those were hard hit outs. I mean, and that's kind of what the Cardinals said, is the spring training numbers, there's such a small sample size. Like, you can have Marcell Ozuna hits a double, and what it is a wonky pool shot that basically crosses over the first baseman.
Right.
So if you don't see the hit or you don't see what actually happened, then the numbers can get a little weird. They're seeing that he's drilling baseballs, and that showed in those home runs the other day. He pulled out his bat, and he showed me, he said, you know, this is where I was hitting him. And he, you know, the very corner of the end of his bat. And then the only difference in those two home runs was that he hit it a square, you know, fraction of an inch closer to the meat of his bat. And he said, look, I was in a walking boot till Thanksgiving. I haven't had meaningful swings in a game since I was injured. He had the foot setback. He said, I'm just now starting to get my balance in the plate again. He goes, I just need reps now. And that's going to be the big question here. They're going to start him. They're going to make him the starting right fielder. I don't know if Schilt's going to bat him top three or sixth. He's still wrestling with that. He's going back and forth. It could maybe depend on the matchup. And I think Dexter's okay with that. I think Dexter wants to play every day. I don't think he's caught up anymore on where he hits in the lineup. But I do feel like he wants a chance to show that he can be that guy. I think the Cardinals are going to give it to him based off of what they've seen this spring. And then the other thing that the Cardinals can point to is how is the intangible stuff. They do the ball talk stuff, and Dexter's leading some of those discussions. Dexter's been, communicating with the staff on things he sees. He's engaged and participatory, and he's doing things that he didn't do last year. And I think that, he's a smart baseball player. I think they're starting to see some of that come into him. And then you see it in the clubhouse. You remember his first year when he showed up? And I told him this. I said, what did we get wrong about you last year? And he's like, man, I think more than anything, it was just a misunderstanding. I was going through a lot of stuff that I wasn't talking about. And how is anybody supposed to ask me if they don't know? And it got to the point last year where I wouldn't even try to interview him, because it was just kind of like it was tough and he didn't want to talk. And he thought you were, maybe had an angle. And we had a candid conversation about, hey, I told him, I said, I should have done a better job last year of coming up and saying, you want to talk about what's going on. And he appreciated that. And I think he said, I should have talked about some of what I was going on earlier. But the fact that you could have that conversation with him now, I think shows that he's comfortable. He's happy to be here. He's engaged. He wants to make this work. And the other thing too, is that he's just all in with this team.
Right.
I don't think he's caught up in, well, I was a center fielder and a leadoff hitter. He just wants to play. And he does want to play every day, and that's going to be the question here. So all these positive things could, be overshadowed by performance. If he goes out and can't get a hit in the first month of the season, then the Cardinals, if they're going to try to win, are going to have to do something. And they've got really, really interesting candidates for that spot in Jose and Tyler O'Neill. He knows this. This is not some surprise, but he's got a spot with Schilt where they can be openly honest to each other. The relationship between Dexter Fowler and Mike Matheny was bad. We knew that last year. It was worse, I think, than we even knew.
I think
that's been clear this spring. And he's not sitting around bagging on Mike, but just the way he talks about the way Schilt manages him, it's pretty obvious. And his relationship with Mo is good. They've, on the golf course, they're out there. They've talked through their things. They're in a great place, and he feels good there. So I think everything that you could want to see from spring, other than it would be great if Dexter Fowler was batting 300 and slugging .500. That would be ideal, right? But, if you look at the readings on the bat, the numbers the Cardinals are paying attention to, then he's had a good spring, and they're going to give him some run here. Now, if he can't do it, he can't do it, and he's going to have to go to the bench. And if he goes to the bench, maybe he can't be a good player, and maybe that's, maybe we're back in that same spot last year. But he's going into this with eyes wide open. And I think he feels like he's got a fair shake at it, which is kind of what all he ever wanted. If you put yourself in Dexter's shoes, and performance drives everything in baseball, right? But just think about, pretend you're Dexter Fowler, and you got the money, the contract. That's great. Money cures a lot of things. But this is a guy who was brought in and told to make a clubhouse fun when it had a manager who was fighting for his job, and it was falling apart on Mike Matheny. You had a guy who was advertised and presented as the leadoff hitting center fielder. He loses his spot in his first season. He loses his defensive job in his second season. He had the comments with Mo that went sideways on both of them. But no, they have both been candid about talking about that, right? And they've moved past it. But all these things kind of piled on his head, right? And he has this kind of feels like, okay, he told me, he said, I felt handcuffed. And I was like, whoa, that's kind of what do you mean by that? And he said, everybody told me to be myself, but I couldn't be myself. So what am I supposed to do? And now he's back to being himself. And I think the Cardinals see that. And I think they hope it works. They're not telling us what they're going to do if it doesn't, but that is a fascinating and fair question. But I think you've seen signs this spring that say maybe this guy has a chance of pulling out of this.
I am proud to add to the website, as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. We have a few minutes left, and I want to get into SLU. What a story. 4 games in a row with basically 6 or 7 guys they rotate. 4 games in a row, and that, you know, to do it in a postseason tournament is remarkable. Now, guys can do that when you rotate 9 or 10, but to do it with 6 or 7, it's hard to do. And Travis Ford did it with Cartier Gordon leaving. Santos never played. Welmer never played.
The kid from Iceland went
right,
home.
Right, he went home. It was a hell of a job, and he did it. He got him in. I think it's one of the better jobs in the country to have them win the A-10 tournament, and I'm happy for Travis. He's done a good job. He's got a good class coming in. It's a great story for St. Louis basketball.
Absolutely, and he's a good coach, man. He was doing a lot with a little, both in terms of available bodies, and by the end, you know, they have good players, but they don't have a lot of them.
Right.
And there's a cap kind of on the talent that he's got. He got those guys to buy in. I remember after they had that terrible loss, I think it was against St. Joe's, they got beat by like 30 on the road. I thought, oh man. And he told me, he said, I've had teams that lose like that, and there's two ways they respond. Either it becomes a turning point or it's the beginning of the end. And for this team, it was the turning point. They start to buy in on their defense. They can defend. They
Very
can
good.
Shut you down.
And you got they Thatch, you got Bass. I mean, French is a good defender. I mean, you got
their defense is as good as their free throw shooting is bad.
Right.
I mean, they love rock fights, and that's why I think they got a shot against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's in an interesting spot. They're hot. Their best player's back. They also have a coach who's caught up in maybe talking to Texas A&M. And
right.
I think those things affect teams in a tournament. SLU's playing with house money, playing great defense. It's going to be a slow game. It's going to be a rock fight. They love those. That's what
right.
they're in every game at home for them was at Chaffetz Arena. I think it's a great story. I am happy for Travis because nobody works harder than that guy, man. And you talked about Jimmy Edmonds and how he eats, sleeps, breathes baseball. That's Travis in basketball. He just loves, he's sick with it. And any positive that they can have in the tournament would be great for them. And it's already been a great season. I think his coaching beyond the X's and O's is a big part of that. There was one game, I forget which one it was, one of their later home games, where he pulls out these hard hats. He starts giving them to his players in the locker room, and they're putting them on and headbutting each other. And it's like, what are you doing? He's like, that's who we are. We have to be nasty. We have to be good defensively. We're not pretty offensively. I get it, but we're going to embrace who we are. And that's what they've done, and they're in the tournament because of it.
I think it's one of the great stories and the job that he's done. And the thing I love about it, too, now this will be our final question or comment, but the thing that he's done it with local kids for the most part, and he's got local kids coming in. And that's what we're a St. Louis area that buys into our own people, and that's what I like about it. You know, he's got those kids coming. And so next year, the excitement is going to be there with local kids coming in too and local kids returning. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah. He said he has done what he said he would do.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier said than done. He said, I'm going to make the best players in St. Louis have to consider SLU.
And he's done that.
And he has done that. And the latest will be Yuri Collins.
Right.
And yeah. It didn't
and
work.
And the kid from East St. Louis.
It didn't work with Cartier Gordon. But you still take a shot on that and hope that it does.
Right.
Look at what this team has done without Cartier Gordon, by the way.
I mean, it's been better.
Talk about another time when you thought the season was over.
Right.
And they lost one of their most talented players and got better. That's coaching, guys. That's not some magical thing. That's coaching. That's how you rally a team that's had adversity. And every time they take a step forward, every time they have a great record at home, every time they make a run in the tournament, get to the NCAA tournament, it's going to make that next Jason Tatum that comes out of St.
Right.
Louis be a little more likely to say, you know what, maybe I'll play at SLU instead of Duke. I wonder, my biggest question in the world in college basketball at times is what would have happened if Jason Tatum would have graduated with Konzo Martin at Mizzou and Travis Ford at SLU. And I think between the two of those guys, they might have gotten him to stay at one of those two schools.
Yeah.
And that's all you can ask for. You're not going to get them all, but you want your local teams to have a fighting chance. And both of those guys have given that very early on in their careers.
Well, next Friday, we'll be chatting from Milwaukee.
You will be.
You won't be there.
I will not. No, I'm sorry.
Well, you need to probably make a trip there.
Can we meet like in the middle? Or
sure, we could do that. We'll go to Chicago, make a little trip there.
When are we going to be chatting in St. Louis? Aren't you ready to get home? I'm kind of ready to get home at this point. Yeah,
I'm ready. I'm ready to break camp. I'd like to take the weather with me though, but I understand it's going to be nice weather in St.
That's
Louis.
That's what they say. Yeah, it was like 3 degrees when I left.
Yeah, so. Me too. So I'm looking forward to it. Always fun to visit.
I love
Ben.
It, man. Thank you.
Thanks.